Thanks for listening to Matt McLaughlin History. Become a subscriber to receive exclusive bonus episodes, ad-free listening, early access to all episodes, and special member-only events. Click on the link in the show notes or visit patreon.com/mmhistory.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a very special episode of not just Living History, but also Battle Walks, where we're doing a two for one. We are recording both podcasts because we've been out on the battlefields today. When I say we, I'm here with the best guide in the business. It's Pete Smith. Pete, what an amazing day we've had on the battlefields.
I just like to know the two for one. Am I the one or the two here?
You're the one. Oh, definitely okay. The one. Just checking. Definitely the one. So this podcast, we're here on the battlefields. It's my first time back in 3 years. And we're going to basically just take the opportunity, hopefully most days, to talk about the experiences we've had. And, mate, what a day we had today. We left Paris. Just the summary is we left Paris. We headed up to Ypres, where we are now, sitting here with a beer. Cheers, Pete. You'll hear the clinking of our beer glasses.
Hang on. There we go.
Having a cold beer at the end of a long day. It's been a great day. What a great day, Pete. It's the Matt McLaughlin signature tour, so we threw in some sights that we don't normally do, and basically we went through the heart of the 1918, right at the end of the war, battlefields, which was a really rare treat. It was a fantastic day, wasn't it?
It was indeed. Did we follow the itinerary? No, we didn't. We managed to get all sorts of bits and bobs in there. So I think the one that I enjoyed the most was the German cemetery. I think near the 4th Divisional Memorial was probably my favourite stop of the day, I think.
I agree. I hadn't been there before. So well, let's run through what we did. So we left Paris and it wasn't even too hard getting out of Paris. We've got a wonderful group with us, 22 people. We left Paris and headed up into the battlefields. Where did we go first? It's all such a blur.
It's all a blur. We went
first. Mont Saint-Quentin, of course.
Well, we stopped at the services on the motorway where we picked up lunch. So that was our first stop.
Thank you for being so specific. And I bought myself a Kit Kat. Sorry, we've just lost
the plot.
Half of our audience. No, we're not going to be detailing every toilet stop we made, but no, we did stop at the services. Thank you to get our lunch. That was a great addition. We went to Mont Saint-Quentin. It's confusing for the passengers because anyone that's done this sort of tour will know that you can't do it in chronological order. So we are starting the first things we've seen on the tour are the last things that occurred during the war, but wow, some pretty special things. So Mont Saint-Quentin, 2nd Division Memorial. It's just a great spot. I love going to Mont Saint-Quentin.
Well, I think that was necessary because what we're really trying to do on this tour is to get to all five of the divisional memorials, which doesn't happen very often. So 2nd Division Memorial first, and of course it's the only one that's different. It's not the obelisk. It's the, or had been, the digger bayoneting the German eagle. Sadly, no longer there. It was a rather spectacular memorial. And now we've got a rather thoughtful digger, head down, throwing his helmet off, put his slouch hat on, and he's having a think about what he's just gone through.
It's a great spot and a very special place for me. Men from my district, Mallee Plains in New South Wales, near West Wyalong, fought at Mont Saint-Quentin. So it's a pretty special spot for me, one of the first battlefields I visited. A little bit different to how it was, but Pete, I really enjoyed the perspective that you gave us as well, because we didn't just drive straight to the battlefield. In spite of the name, Mont Saint-Quentin is actually not that much of a hill, but we approached it from an angle which showed us how the hill dominates the valley. So that was a really great way to do it.
Yep, and there's always an opportunity to tell a few interesting stories, which we did. And I like the story of one of my favourites is of the original memorial being not blown up, as I used to tell people. I don't know where I picked that up years ago, that it was blown up. It wasn't blown up. It was literally cut down and lying on its side beside the plinth that it's on. And I've got a little box brownie photograph of a German soldier standing on the Australian soldier's head. And so that story always goes down well, and that's 1940 during the when the Germans arrived back.
Well, we got back onto the coach after that great visit and then headed up into the area that is almost never visited by Australians on the battlefields, which is the area right in the east, way out of the Somme department. We're now in the department of the Aisne, A-I-S-N-E, and the battlefield of... We went to the 4th Division Memorial next, didn't we? And this is the most easterly of the memorials.
Yep. Up a track, worried the coach driver by taking him up this...
Shout out to Patrick, our coach driver, did a great job.
Yeah, rather dodgy old track that took us up to the memorial. And again, it's one that's not visited because it is so far over on the east, and it's also difficult to get to. And for those that don't know where it is, quite difficult to find. But once you've got there, fantastic views over the Hindenburg Line, so well worth the effort to go and visit the 4th Div Memorial.
So at the end of the war, the 5 Australian divisions all had a choice, basically, where they would put their memorial, and 4 of the 5 divisions put their memorial on a key battlefield, which is what you would expect. You know, say the 1st Division, for example, put their memorial at Pozieres, the 5th put theirs at Polygon Wood. So they put it at a scene of triumph and achievement and victory in a place that could be a focal point for visitors to come back and remember the great achievements of the division. The 4th Division was the exception, and interestingly, they put their memorial in a very isolated place because they wanted it to symbolise the fact that they'd fought across the Western Front from the early days of 1916 until the end of the war in 1918. So they put it basically at the scene of their last advance to show the ground that they'd come across. It's a wonderful sentiment, but what it means is the memorial is very isolated and therefore not often visited. So it was great. And I think the people on the tour loved going there as well. There was a real sense of emotion when we got there to see this thing. I think some people were tearing up when they saw the Australian rising sun in this really isolated little corner of a French field.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we ate our packed lunch there as well.
It's not just walking the battlefields, it's Pete's gourmand tour. No, it was a really special spot. We found a few little bits and pieces out in the fields around the memorial, so it was a good spot. And no, a really good spot. I haven't been there for many years. I've led many tours in the intervening years since I first visited it, and this was the first time I'd been back in a long time. And as you say, a rare opportunity to visit all 5 divisional memorials on a tour, which is fantastic. Where do we head to next?
Montbrun.
Montbrun, of course. Yeah. The last Australian battle of the war, October 5, 1918. Just a really special spot. Indescript. You would... Indescript? Is that even a word? Nondescript?
I like indescript. I don't know what it means.
I don't know if it's a word, but I'm using it. It was an indescriptible, a nondescript little village. And there'd be no reason for anyone, well, for the locals, I'm sure they would enjoy visiting it, but certainly for Australian tourists, there would be no reason to go there except that this was the scene of Australia's last action of the war in October 1918. It's a remarkable place. There's still some... You don't find many tangible examples of the war in these villages because the fighting was so fleeting. It could have been literally a couple of hours.
Yeah.
It was the only time the First World War touched these villages. But at Montbrun, there's some really interesting things to see.
Yeah, there are. I like looking for battle damage in the buildings because the buildings weren't totally destroyed. So you see bullet holes and shrapnel marks in the buildings. The cemetery is a lovely little, almost beside the communal cemetery, little battlefield cemetery. So I enjoy going there. And, of course, you're visiting the graves of some of those, the last Australians actually killed in a set-piece battle. So
we have to be careful with this one. I've come under flak recently for describing it as the last Australians killed on a battlefield. It's a matter of definition. We don't want to get bogged down by semantics.
Yeah.
This was the last Australian infantry battle, the last battle of the Australian Corps.
Yeah.
But there were Australians who died later than October 5. Yeah. But, you know, we're splitting hairs here. It's about the sentiment that this is the last battlefield. So that journey that started on the beaches of Anzac Cove effectively ended at Montbrun. And it was pretty special because we had people on this tour who had been to Gallipoli but had never been to the Western Front. And it was a really moving experience for them to recall that, you know, a few years ago I was standing on the beach at Anzac Cove thinking about the first Australians to land, and now I'm here at the last battlefield of the war. So it's a special place.
It is. And something that interests me, I've always had an interest in pioneer battalions, and the 2nd Divisional Pioneer Battalion fought here in that final action. So it was nice to have an opportunity to chat about pioneer battalions and how they worked within the division as well.
It was great. We went to Calvair Cemetery, and there's some special graves in there. Harry Fletcher's buried there. Harry Fletcher and Austin Marnie were two mates who enlisted as privates and fought at Gallipoli and fought all the way through the war, and they were captains commanding companies at Mont Brahan, and both were killed on that day. A terribly tragic story. Would be better if they were buried side by side, but unfortunately they're not. Austin Marnie is buried in Tincor Cemetery because he was wounded and died
suddenly.
Wounds.
Yeah.
But we visited Harry Fletcher, who's buried there. At least two Australian DCM winners, so Distinguished Conduct Medal. So it's the medal below the Victoria Cross.
Yeah.
And that incredible coincidence. Davies.
Yeah.
His name was Sergeant Davies, and randomly, because I'd been talking to the group about DCMs, and I'm very interested in men who won the DCM, I snapped a photograph of one DCM winner, got back on the bus, looked up his record. He won his DCM for actions that occurred 105 years ago today. We were there at his graveside on the anniversary of him earning this medal. It was extraordinary. What a medal as well. It's just the stories of DCMs. We won't go off on too much of a Matt and Pete tangent, but look them up, the awards for DCMs. He was part of a Lewis gun team here up in the Salient.
Yeah, on the Menin Road, so we're almost where he is. I mean, we're just out just beside the Menin Gate here. So
extraordinary, though. A shell landed, and so he was part of a Lewis gun team, a light machine gun team. A shell landed and basically buried everyone and the gun. And it sounded from the citation, Pete, I got the impression everyone was killed except for him. It said basically wiped out the whole machine gun company and the gun.
Yep.
He managed to recover the gun. He was the only one that survived the explosion.
Yep.
He managed to recover the gun. He then took it into the front line and repelled a German counterattack. And then that night, snuck out with his rifle and dealt with two snipers who had been causing casualties in the Australian line. So,
extraordinary story.
And then killed at Mont Brahan on the last day of fighting. Yep. Just extraordinary.
Yeah.
Just amazing stuff. So we went to Calvair Cemetery, and then as we left Mont Brahan, we went past the quarry where George Ingram received the last Victoria Cross of the war for Australians by capturing basically every German in Mont Brahan.
I think maybe exaggerating slightly.
A one-man offense. He was a definition of a one-man offensive, George Ingram.
He did a good job.
The last Victoria Cross of the war for an Australian.
Yep.
And then we hit the road, headed up to where we are right now. I've said this so many times. I said it in my book, Walking with the Anzacs. This is like... it's like an old friend, the town of Ypres, isn't it?
Yeah, it is indeed. And we did a little bit of a chat at the Menin Gate, so the story of the Menin Gate, and then down to this bar where we're recording this.
Now having a couple of beers, there's music playing, it's a beautiful evening, the sun is setting, Ypres is a wonderful town. I'm sure after this we'll go and have a nice steak frites or a mussels and chips or something, but it's just
more beer,
liquid dinner. It's been a great day, Pete, a really special day. I think the people on the tour, we were laughing saying that we literally today did nothing on the itinerary. That's got to be a record. Often the itinerary is always a bit of a loose guide to what we'll do in the day. It's not carved in stone, so we will always modify slightly and add and subtract various things, but I think this is a record for doing a day where we did nothing on the itinerary. But it's better than that, because we did nothing but extra bonus visits, which is what this tour is all about.
Correct.
It was a great day. A really fantastic day.
It was indeed.
Tomorrow, we're out in the Salient, walking the famous ground from 1917, and I can't wait. If it's anything like today, mate, it's going to be a special day.
Oh, we may do something completely different, but we'll let you know.
Either way, it's been a great day. I'm sure the following days will be fantastic as well. I can't believe we've got more than a week to go on the battlefields. I'm so happy being back here for the first time in 3 years. It's brilliant.
It is brilliant.
Thank you for joining us in this virtual sense, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Pete, thank you very much.
Yep, see ya.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.